Okay, this morning we're in the third chapter of James. We've been kind of building up to this. We actually taught the scripture a while back, and then I got in my head that we were moving too fast and we weren't putting enough emphasis upon the attributes of God. And so we went back and we began to look at things back in chapter 1, chapter 2, and so forth. And in the book of James, it is commonly mistaught that the book of James was written to saved Jews of the diaspora. And when we begin to examine the context and James comparing his faith with their faith, and then, of course, the scholars all believe that James wrote very early, and this is their reason. Now, think about this in light of the omniscience of God, and that God, you know, chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God is omniscient, that is, He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He has the power to do anything that's consistent with His will. He is omnipresent, that is, everywhere present at once. He's immutable. He doesn't change. Okay, in light of that, then, He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And when Christ was crucified, when? Before the foundation of the world. So, from all eternity, God has had the plan of salvation in His mind to complete it in its time. Because God, two other attributes that God has, is that He's a God of mercy, and that He's a God of grace. He's also a God of love. Now, love can be expressed, it doesn't take mercy and grace to express love. You can love without mercy and grace, but the manifestation of God's grace really shows forth His love. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but what? That He loves us. Well, when? From all eternity. And then sent His Son to be what? The propitiation or the covering for our sins. So all these things were established in God's eternal mind forever. You know? Now, in point of time, He created the universe. And in point of time, because of the fall of Lucifer, He judged the earth. And then in point of time, He recreated the earth. And when we actually read the book of Genesis and the 6 days of, actually, it's the recreation. Those 6 days are not about the original creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then the earth became without form and void. And that was due to the fact that Lucifer was lifted up in pride because of his great beauty. And so God judged that original creation and plunged it in darkness. And so that was portrayed in the shadows and types of Scripture. That was portraying exactly what would happen to man. God created man in His own image and in His own likeness. Okay? So Adam was the only man excuse me, I haven't been coughing all week, and now all of a sudden today I'm trying to clear out all the crap that's in there. Anyway, God in His infinite mercy and grace has provided salvation from all eternity because He knew, you know, in His omniscience, He didn't make Adam sin. He didn't make Eve be deceived. He didn't make Lucifer be lifted up in pride and desire to be God. He just knew that they would. Now, we are what? We're called free agents. Okay? So, Adam as a free agent was created in the image of God, but he's not a puppet. You know, he's not a robot. He had a mind of his own, and Eve had a mind of her own. She was taken from a rib from Adam's side, and then, which makes Adam the head of the whole human race, Eve as well. Okay. And over in the book of Corinthians, we learn that the first woman came from man, and after that, all men come from women. And we keep, you know, this crazy thing that I mentioned in some of the announcements that I made before. We have crazy stuff going on in the world today. And in the universities where they used to teach English literature, you know, the Greek tragedies, all of that type of thing, they have stopped teaching that. And in its place are teaching diversity, you know. And diversity is all about, we, you know, we've got to be whatever we are. If we think we're a woman, then we can be a woman, you know. Well, I'd just like to see a man who thinks he's a woman give birth to a baby. That would convince me that he's a woman, you know. But if he can't do that, and no matter what kind of hormones they give him, and no matter what kind of surgery they perform, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Oh, goodness. That was fine until I started preaching. That'll take care of it. Okay. Debbie, would you step in there and bring me some Kleenex, please? Okay. Let's get back to this. See if I can maintain my thought with the trouble I'm having with my voice at the present time. Thank you. That might help. Okay. We've got to put this all in perspective. When we know what God is like, and when you study theology in Bible colleges, whether you study in doctrine or the larger subject of doctrine called theology, you learn about the attributes of God. And the attributes of God are there right in the book of the beginning of the book. And we learned about the omniscience of God, the immutability of God, the omnipresence of God, the love of God, the mercy, grace, and grace of God. You learn all those things. Then it seems that the next few years of your Bible education, they forget all of those attributes that they teach you in doctrine, and they start teaching you their doctrine. You know. And their doctrine doesn't necessarily coincide with what you learned in the first year. Okay? And we need to think in terms of what the Bible reveals God to be. And so when we recognize that God knew all of this was going to happen from all eternity, but as a God of mercy and grace, He has to work things out in His time so that the attributes of mercy and grace can fit with His omniscience, His omnipotence, His immutability, and all of these other things. That's why we backed up and looked at those things. Now, in the third chapter, when James says, "My brethren," everyone assumes he's talking about his Christian brethren. No, he has Jewish brethren. James was a Jew. the people that are written to, we saw in verse 1, James to the 12 tribes, what? Scattered abroad. Now, one of the things that we learned about the Jews being scattered abroad from the, I think it's the 23rd or 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. One of the reasons that the Jews are going to be scattered abroad is because God gave them the opportunity to be under the law. And the Jews didn't look introspectively at themselves before they promised, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, if they looked at their conduct in Egypt, when the burden was increased upon them because of the judgments of the false gods in Egypt, they should have been able to realize, we can't do those things. But in their pride, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So then we go, through Scripture, we have 2,500 years where there's no law, just the one, not the eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And everyone was guilty of that. And then with the nation of Israel down in Egypt, God delivers them from Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb, which speaks of salvation in Jesus Christ. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Then they have a tremendous revival on the far shore of the Red Sea. It's wonderful. They're praising God. Then a few days into the wilderness, they're moaning and groaning. There's no water. God has brought us out here to kill us in this wilderness. And so all of their praise for what he did in delivering them has been forgotten now. Okay. Then all of a sudden God says he speaks the law to the nation of Israel. And they say, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, somewhere in their brain, they ought to figure, did we do all that the Lord had spoken in Egypt? Never. Have we done all that the Lord has spoken along the way? No. But now we have a law that manifests the attributes of God. And it requires perfection to perform it. And these idiots say, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, when we see that they couldn't, then they're judged, and they went into the land and they were supposed to utterly destroy the inhabitants of the land. But they didn't do it. While Joshua was alive, they had great victories and they did it. And the reason that God told them to do this is because all the inhabitants of the land worship falsely. And one of the great things about their false worship, it was like Woodstock. And I showed that film about 40 days and 40 nights, it seems like. And we put up the no smoking sign, dim the lights, start the projector, and all over the theater, they're lighting up. I'm immune to marijuana by osmosis. The projection booth is above the auditorium. But, these guys want to get high, and they want to indulge their minds in all of the baser things of the world. And this is what's happening in our university system at the present time with this diversity delusion thing. So now we're coming in to this book of James, and we find under the canopy of Christianity that the majority of the denominations under the canopy of Christianity use James to prove that we have to keep the law and keep ourselves saved by the life that we live. Okay? In other words, what does that do to the immutability of God? And what does that do to the statement that God spoke through Paul. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, what? No flesh will be justified where? In God's sight. Lots of people are justified in their own minds, but not in God's sight. So we get into this. It says, my brethren, be not many masters. Now, the word master is a word in the Greek which means teacher. So don't be, to paraphrase this, and that's probably the best way to teach it, James is saying to these Jews of the diaspora who were scattered because of unbelief, don't be too anxious to teach. Okay? You think you know what you're talking about, but you don't. He doesn't say that here, but he just says, my brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we, teachers, shall receive the greater condemnation. That word is krima in the Greek, and it carries the idea of we're going to be under greater scrutiny. So the Jews thought they knew the answer. You know, they thought that they could fulfill the law. They thought they could be justified before God by the works of their own hand. But all of the judgments that befell them and the fact that these Jews are scattered amongst the Gentile nations of the world proves that they failed before the law. So he says to them, for in many things we offend. That is, we all make mistakes. You know, and even those of us, and Eric knows this, I know this, it just happens that we can be studying and we see something, we think we know what it means, but we don't consider something that we've learned, but maybe it's in the recesses of our mind, but we don't think of it at that moment in time. And so we speak something that doesn't really fit, you know. And of course, when that happens, and we realize it, it brings shame to us, and we want to correct it. And it happens to all of us. And so we, you know, we can't have such an ego that we can't admit that we've made a mistake, you know. And so when we made mistakes, I try to make it as clear as soon as I recognize that I've misstated something, to let you know that I misstated it. But that's why we're to study to show ourselves approved, not to you, not to me, but to God, approved unto God. So in many things we offend, and if any man offend not, the same as a perfect man. Now, there's only one man that never offended. Who is that? Jesus Christ. He's God. Okay. So, we have to take what our Lord did in His person and work, and we can't emulate it because we have a sin nature, and He did not. He was God incarnate. Okay. And so, all of this teaching that we see the Lord doing in the Gospels, we can draw applications to ourselves in certain circumstances, but we have to recognize that Jesus was teaching to Jews who thought they were justified by law, and He was using the law lawfully, and the lawful use of the law is to produce condemnation. Because if you don't see yourself a failure in your conduct, you'll never see yourself in need of a Savior. And Christ came to, first of all, fulfill the law, fulfill every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness, and then to give Himself as a ransom for sin. Because without the shedding of blood is no remission, so Jesus bore the curse of the law after fulfilling it perfectly. He took that curse upon Him. So in His love and mercy and grace, He could satisfy God's holiness, righteousness, and justice in our behalf. That's what salvation is all about. But these people think that if you're saved You know, once saved, always saved. You know. So then they say, oh, if you believe that, then you can do anything you want. They do anything they want anyway. They just get saved again and again and again. Not really, but in their minds. You know. So they're like the Jews in that respect. By their traditions, they justify themselves. But we have to look at ourselves realistically. And so to understand this book, we have to understand it wasn't written to Christians, it was written to unsaved Jews to bring those Jews to Christ. So he goes on to say, all of us offend, and if any man offend not, and the only man who didn't offend is our Lord Jesus Christ, he's a perfect man, and he's able to bridle the whole body. Now he uses some illustrations. And these illustrations, they're pretty good. You know? He says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Now, I'm not into this too much, but, you know, typically a horse can weigh about 1,500 pounds. So he's going to weigh about 10 times as much as we weigh. You know? But we can control that. A little girl on the back of a horse with the reins and the bit in, across the tongue and in the mouth of that horse, you know, she can turn his head this way, turn it that way, make him go anywhere she wants, you know, because of that bit. So a little bitty girl is controlling a beast that's much larger than she, much stronger than she, and yet she's able to control it. Okay? So, behold also the ships. Now, some of these ships, especially these container ships, they're monstrous. They're as big as our aircraft carriers. And they're built so that they set kind of low in the sea, and they're very wide. And they put these containers on it, and the containers are about the size of a truck and trailer, a van. Each one of these containers is about that size, and they load them, they hook them together, and so there's a tremendous amount of weight on those ships, and they're big, and they go back and forth, you know, for those that trade in the sea and make them rich. So, behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, or what we would say. The rudder is pretty small compared to the size of the ship. And you just turn it against the current, the water as you're flowing forward, and it pushes the rear end around this way or around that way, and they're able to turn the ship. Okay. So it says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. And then he uses an illustration. And here in Oregon, lots of camping. We have some wonderful places we can go and camp out. But if you want to get a fire started, what do you use to start it? Well, you might take along a propane torch today. That's what most people do. But you cut some kindling, and you get a small fire started, so you can add the larger pieces of wood onto it. So behold how little of flame or little of fire can produce a great fire. Okay? So that makes sense, right? So even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue, verse 6, is a fire, a world of iniquity. Yeah. We're born dead in trespasses and sin. And it doesn't take much getting in an argument and you spew out all kinds of crap. You know. Okay. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and is set on fire and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Yeah. The devil will ultimately be cast into hell, into the lake of fire. And we think, naturally, according to the lie of the devil, is that we can be like God by the life that we live. Yeah. So all of the religions of the world are based upon morality. That's a knowledge of good and evil. That was what was in the evil tree. Now, what's the difference between that and what we believe in Jesus Christ? Well, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't satisfy a holy, righteous, and just God. We need a Redeemer. So this is what James is building here. He wants to bring these Jews of the diaspora to salvation. Okay. So that's why he compares his faith with their faith. You know, and that's why he compared the works of Rahab and Abraham to the works of these Jews. You know, both Abraham and Rahab, the harlot, you know, they operated by faith. She lied to the authorities to protect the two spies, and then she allowed them to escape out of her apartment on the wall with a red rope. And they told her, hang out that same rope, red rope, which speaks of the blood of Christ. And everybody that's in the room with you, when we come and bring judgment on Jericho, and remember they marched around it, the walls fell down. She lived on the wall, but she wasn't hurt. Nobody in the room with her was hurt. No. Because of what? They spoke to her the word of God. So when they promised her, it was God promised her. They were servants of the Lord. So it says, for every kind of beast, of birds, in verse 7, and of serpents, you know, in India, you see them playing a flute, and a cobra, a deadly, venomous serpent that one bite, you're going to be dead. Okay? And they play that thing, and it sways back and forth. They seem to mesmerize it. You know? So every kind of beast, of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. And sometimes, you know, I watch the television show about Alaska, The Last Frontier. And whenever they go away from their home, they are always armed because they may come across bears. And one swat of a bear, and you're done. Okay, so he says, but every kind of beast and birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Did you ever see those orcas down in San Diego? They've got them in a pool and they trade them and they stand up.
Dolphins.
Or dolphins. Well, they do. They also do it with the orcas. Yeah. Dolphins and orcas, which are a form of whale. They call them killer whales, and they love to eat seals. And they'll grab one of those seals and throw it about 50 feet in the air, and then go eat it. Okay. So, but the tongue can no man tame. You think you can tame your own tongue? I have to do is to use the vernacular, piss you off real good, and you will let go. Okay? All right. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Okay. Therewith bless we God. And the Jews were the custodians of the truth, so it's perfectly proper for James to speak of these Jews of the diaspora. They should have known the truth, but they didn't. They were scattered because they rejected the truth for the works of their own hands. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which or who are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Now, the Jews of the diaspora, they thought they knew everything because they were Jews. We're God's chosen people. Now, at the present time, we see a great deal of anti-Semitism building up in this country. And I believe it's because it's the Lord saying to the Jews, come out of her, my people. And all we had to do was get a few Arabs in our Congress, and all kinds of anti-Semitism. Arabs and Jews are brothers and sisters. When you speak of anti-Semitism, nobody ever applies it to Arabs. But they're Semites the same as Jews. Yeah. But we use the term anti-Semitism only with respect to half of the sons of Abraham. Okay? So, it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth in verse 10, blessings and cursings, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain, if you go to the drinking fountain and you turn the knob and it's refrigerated and it comes out nice and cold, do you expect to get salt water or brackish water? No, you expect to get nice, cold, clear, clean water, okay? So doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? No. Everything reproduces how? After its own kind. So you get olives from olive trees. You get berries from vines, various kind of berries. Or can a vine vine produce figs? No, you get figs off fig trees. When I was a kid growing up in Southern California, fig trees are easy to climb. And we'd climb up those. This one fig tree, it was as big as an oak tree. We get those figs and we just turn them inside out and suck out all the stuff and throw away the peel. And so he says, who is a wise? Now, when we use the word wisdom in Scripture, particularly when dealing with the Jews, and we learn from the third proverb that wisdom is used in the sense of salvation. And in the first chapter of James, James said to these Jews, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not. He's talking about salvation. Because unless you're saved, the wisdom of this world comes to nothing. See? So we need wisdom towards God. And when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he indwells us by his Holy Spirit. And as we steady to show ourselves approved unto God, he enables us to see things that people in the past would have loved to see, but didn't. Or they saw it, and then after a period of time and the apostasy in the churches, wonderful truths are lost, and you have to rediscover them. And one thing I learned in Bible college, put to the test everything that you hear from the pulpit. Does it fit with the Word of God rightly divided? And so much of what I heard was pure apostasy. I went to three different Bible colleges and it wasn't much different one to the other. So who is a saved man among you and endued with knowledge, that is, we understand the Word of God by the studying to show ourselves approved unto God and by the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. Let him show out a good manner of life. That's what the word conversation meant in 1611 when this was translated. His works with meekness of wisdom. What are we talking about? Works of faith. That's the kind of works that we saw in Rahab and Abraham. Abraham believed that if he put his son to death, because God had already promised him that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, then he says to him, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, and get thee into a mount that I will show you, and offer him there for a burnt offering. That means put him to death. And when we read in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we read that Abraham believed that if he put him to death, God would raise him to life again. And then it says, from whence also he received him in a figure. When he raised his knife to kill Isaac, God said, stop. Offer the ram caught by his horns in a thicket. See, God knew what he would do all along, but Abraham didn't know. He had to operate on the basis of what God told him to do. And he believed, because God had told him all of the families of the earth would be blessed in Isaac, if he put him to death, God would raise him to life again. You know, and people say, I don't know whether I've got that kind of faith. Yeah, you have that kind of faith because you believe that if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that He fulfilled the law on your behalf. He fulfilled all righteousness in your behalf. He offered Himself as a ransom for sin, and with His blood, He covered all of your sins so that you're accepted in the Beloved. Believe me, that's the faith of Abraham. And every one of us as believers in Jesus Christ have that kind of faith. It wasn't generated by us. It was a gift of God. Okay. So he says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not against the truth. Now, what are you doing? Boasting yourself and lying against the truth. These Jews couldn't be saved by law, but they thought they could. See? And no one can be saved by law, but Jesus Christ had to fulfill the law so that all the blessings of the law belong to Him, and we're heirs and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. So how do you become an heir to all of the blessings of the law? By faith in Jesus Christ. See, God doesn't promise something that's unattainable. But it's unattainable by the works of our own hands. We have to believe God, and it's counted unto us for righteousness. So, lie not against the truth. Think about how many denominations under the canopy of Christianity teach that, oh, if you're saved in the morning and you don't get baptized, then you go to hell. You know, in other words, you're not really baptized until somebody immerses you in water. The baptism that saves is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which God counted to be given to you at the moment of salvation. And the way that God looks at it, when Christ died, you died. When Christ was buried, you were buried. When Christ arose from the dead, you arose with Him to walk out in newness of life. Okay. So this wisdom, that is the wisdom of this world, descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, demonic. They translated it devilish. Well, it's the Greek word daemon. So it's demonic. You know, and the demons here are the servants of the devil. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion. You know, and every evil work. So what do we see under the canopy of Christianity? We see one denomination trying to outdo another denomination. They're all supposed to be preaching the saving grace of Jesus Christ. But really it looks like they're trying to see who can build the biggest monument to themselves with the biggest church and with the greatest attendance and the greatest rock and roll band and all these wonderful Christians. And the sad part is most of them aren't Christians at all. Yeah. They build a monument unto themselves because they're greater is he that is of the bondwoman, or there are more children of the bondwoman than there are of the free. The bondwoman was Hagar. She represents the law and the works of the flesh. And the free woman was Sarah. She produced Isaac, you know. And so, who had the greater number of children? There are far more Arabs in the world than there are Jews. Okay? So in the natural realm, it portrays, you know, when Israel fought for its independence, there were five Arab nations that came against it, and they said, we'll destroy you in 1 week and drive you into the Mediterranean Sea. But everybody thinks that Israel is the bully in the Middle East. A little state smaller than the state of New Jersey. And Egypt, primarily Arab, you know, Arabia, Iran, Iraq, Syria. Look at that on a map sometime. Turkey, you know. And we see all of these different, and most of them are fighting with one another, you know, because even the prophet Muhammad taught that there would be 70 divisions in Islam, but he taught only one of them would be correct, and at the present time there are 120, if I remember correctly, you know. And they fight each other because they think we are the voice of Muhammad. Yeah. So, Muhammad had a terrific ego, and it wasn't until he married a rich widow that he had the time to write the Quran. You know. And he was a thief. You know. The caravans that passed over the Fertile Crescent, they were out there robbing them. Yeah. Taking their wives, pillaging them, you know. Does that make me anti-Arabic? No, they can believe anything they want. Anti-Muslim? Anybody in this world can believe anything that they want, but there's only one way into the presence of God, that's by faith in Jesus Christ. The Scripture says so. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't know why people can't understand that. No man. So either believe what God says or you believe what the world says. And if you believe what the world says, you're going to be wrong. So the wisdom that is from above, and wisdom is used of salvation. Okay. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. There's no oppression in believing that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. No oppression at all. Does that mean that we live perfect lives? No. But when we fail the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son cleanses us from all sin. We are accepted, not in ourselves, in the Beloved. Okay. So the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality, and it's without hypocrisy. What's hypocrisy? Pretense. In Greek, a hypocrites was an actor. And most people under the canopy of Christianity are trying to act out how good they are, how wonderful they are, that they're accepted of God because of the lives that they live. And that's hypocrisy. They're just acting a role. But sinners, yeah, I don't care whether you're a whore, a murderer, a liar, a thief, you know, a Democrat. I had to do that. I'm sorry. It doesn't make any difference what we are. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's only salvation one way. And if you want to be politically correct, you can go to hell. And I'm not saying that. Go to hell. I'm better than you are or something. But if you want to deny what the Word of God says, that's where you're going to go. You know. But if you believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God became a man through the virgin birth so that he could be both God and man and do what man could not do, fulfill every jot and tittle of the law, fulfill all righteousness, and then give himself as a ransom for sin, dying the just for the unjust. And all we have to do is believe that. And it takes the quickening power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. We preach it so that the Spirit of God can quicken it to your mind so that you believe it. You know? And you can hear it again and again and again and not believe it. Then all of a sudden, bang! As Eric has testified many times about his own salvation, it all makes sense. You know, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saved us. And so he says, but the wisdom that is from above in verse 17 is first pure, is peaceable. We have peace with God and the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's gentle. God doesn't mistreat us. It's easy to be entreated. It's easy to accept the fact that, you know, I can't do it, but God did it for me. You know, it's full of mercy. You know, I couldn't do it, but God, in his infinite love and mercy, did it for me. You know, full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality. Whosoever will may come. See? And without hypocrisy, no pretense. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that do what? Make peace. That speaks of us who preach the truth of the Word of God. It's not the peace in this world. In this world, we're always going to have strife. You know, we're never going to have peace in this world. There's going to be a mock peace under the Antichrist for a little while, and people are going to think, wow, we finally got God dwelling with us, but it's going to be the devil. You know, but before that happens, God's going to catch all of us away in the first resurrection, what we call the rapture. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall do what? Shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we, this is the promise of God, so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's not a promise from me, it's a promise of God, and God can't lie. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word, for this book of James that was written to Jews of the diaspora who were trusting in the religion, and James was trying to show them that their religion could only condemn them, because therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in God's sight. So he preached the grace of God unto them so that they might be saved by grace through faith, that they might recognize that it's not by works of righteousness, but it's according to God's mercy that he saved us. And so we praise you and thank you for this book when it's rightly divided. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.